I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today's show is all about sorting through 2020. What were some of the most difficult things for you? Any positives that you could draw? I've got a Christian counselor, Tina Dozer, joining me in just a moment. We're going to take your calls and your texts, and I want to just open the phone lines right this minute. You can call or text, and I'm not above bribery. So you ready? The first few of you to call and the first few of you to text will get books off of our Faith Radio shelf. You need to text me. Like, what was probably one of the hardest things for you in 2020? And what maybe was there a blessing, kind of a blessing in disguise? Would you share that with me? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Text or call. Let's open up those phone lines if we can, Ryan. We'd love to hear from you. The first handful of you to call, the first handful of you to text will get books off of our Faith Radio shelf. So I asked the question on Facebook. She said, what about 2020 has been most difficult for you personally? So many different answers yet to come and thread. Many people said isolation and disconnection, loss of important events and moments because of quarantine, unable to be with elderly parents or a sick spouse in the hospital, missing gatherings at church, working at home while balancing children's education, the division and polarization in our culture. And any positives? Some said, well, it slowed us down, reminded us of what's important. It cleared our overcrowded schedule. Well, John Eldridge writes this: God is trying to do two things with the promise of redemption in our hearts. He's trying to woo us into hopeful expectation, and he's attempting to lift our gaze to the horizon so that we might live for the real thing that is coming. I want you to hear it again. God is trying to do two things with the promise of redemption in our hearts. One, he's trying to woo us into hopeful expectation. That should be in your heart right this minute. And he's attempting to lift our gaze to the horizon that we might live for the real thing that is coming. As I said, Christian counselor Tina Dozer joins me today to help us sort through this year. I'm going to take your calls and your texts. I really want to hear from you. We're together going to work to find perspective in it all. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. As a Christian counselor for over 30 years, she does not sound like she could be a counselor for 30. She sounds so young, but that's pretty amazing. Tina Dozer teaches from her unique perspective of the most common barriers that keep us from experiencing the beauty of lasting, intimate relationship with Christ. She runs a nonprofit called Protecting Innocence, which is designed to meet the needs of children immersed in the cycle of poverty. She and her husband have a 21-year-old daughter, and she's Gammy to her stepdaughter's two children. Tina, it is so great to meet you, and I feel like I've known you forever. Welcome to the show.
Susie, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to get started.
Me too. So we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been hanging around these days you can share with us.
Yes. As soon as COVID hit, I felt like that hard stop of life just created this vulnerability inside of me. So I went back and I grabbed my Good News Bible, the first Bible that I had when I first met the Lord, because I felt very vulnerable, almost as vulnerable then as I do now, as soon as this hard stop happened. And I grabbed my book and I started reading the Word, and I opened up to Ephesians and found this verse in Ephesians 3. And Ephesians 3:16 says, I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in the inner self. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and your foundation in his love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad, how long, how high, and how deep is Christ's love for you. And what I love about that is when everything on the outside seemed unmanageable, he brought me right back to what matters is your inner self and your foundation and the fact that I love you. And that is where all your strength is going to come from. So I've been hanging on to that for dear life.
Wow, Tina, that's amazing. And it's so much the heart of this show, of really contending for the promises of God, paying attention to the condition of our soul, because, you know, even the condition of our hearts, out of it flows the issues of life. And I see some texts coming in, and we'll read some of these here in just a moment. But Tina, you have your own healing journey. Maybe talk a little bit about, just again, not only your healing journey, but how it impacts how you show up for your clients.
Yeah, it has been a long journey. I think that's the most practical piece of understanding that I can bring to the people that I work with, is it is a long journey. Healing, especially from trauma. I specialize in trauma because I come from trauma, and everybody's got different forms of that. But healing from trauma is a lifelong journey. And it isn't that you are incapacitated for a lifelong, but you do have to understand that as you develop, learning to love and to be loved is a very long walk. Mm. And learning to trust and to be trusted is a very long walk. And so I always tell, go back, grab somebody who's at a different spot, remind them of when you were at that spot, and bring them along. So I feel like that's been my life's work, is I turn around and I'm like, oh, I got stuck in that pothole for a really long time. I took a rest on that bench for a really long time. Let me encourage you to take the steps off of it, dig yourself out of it, and let's just keep walking. So I feel like my entire healing journey has been about turning back around and grabbing somebody along the way and encouraging them through something that the Lord has already taken me through.
Wow, love
that. It has been a beautiful experience.
You know, I mean, learning to love and to love, live loved, to be loved and to love others. If we could pull that, if we could all take steps towards living more loved, you know, I mean, one of my guests said years ago, the kingdom of God is not an achieving life. It's the receiving life, you know, learning to walk in all that he's paid for and pours out for us. And if we could, if our capacity for love, the love of God could increase, boy, it would solve so many things. And I want to read some of these that have come in here. And those of you who've texted, you've got to text back now if your address, if you would. And we'll collect those addresses and we'll send you a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. This anonymous listener said the hardest thing for them is division in our country. Maybe say a word about that, because that in itself is causing angst and anxiety in a lot of people.
I feel like one of the enemy's tactics is division. If faith, hope, and love is how we are to live, love includes belongingness. And if he can divide us and we feel like we don't belong, it's just an access to isolation and fear and all the places that the enemy likes to take us, so we can't live a life of being loved and then loving others. The most important part for me that I'm learning as the country seems to be dividing right before our eyes is mercy. I look at taking sides, and I look at finding belongingness without mercy, and it's hollow. If we can learn to look to the other person and understand that even if there is a division and there's a disagreement, there's a story behind that person. One of the things that I always talk about is there's a story behind everyone, and that the Lord sees our life in totality. So if somebody is angry or hostile or disagreeing with you, if you can attempt to see them through the eyes of the Lord, see their life in totality, understand that there's a reason, there's something fueling that hostility. There's something behind their diehard stance on something, and see them as a child, or see them as just a vulnerable individual, and ask the Lord to give you mercy for that person. Unity happens through mercy. It happens as we have mercy for others, mercy for ourselves.
That is absolutely amazing. As you're talking, Tina, you're kind of blocking in and out. We might have to, during the break, get you on the cell phone if that's okay. But, you know, when you're talking, I'm thinking, that's okay. I'm thinking mercy triumphs over judgment. And I remember years ago, I did a study on that passage, and judgment means to come to a verdict and a conclusion that's not ours to give. And in that setting. So, I mean, they're ultimately God will make all things right. But you're so right. We get new mercies every single morning. So somehow, if Christians, if we could walk in the mercies of God, what a difference that might make. Wow. How powerful. This one, this listener, Erica, says, the blessing in 2020 was pulling back from all of life to refocus on what was important and to go deeper with God. He met me in a huge way and is using the uncertainty to grow me into a future ministry. Okay, I just want to jump up and shout, Erica. I got to read that again, because God is doing this all over the place. The blessing in 2020 was pulling back from all of life to refocus on what was important, go deeper with God. He met me in a huge way and is using this uncertainty to grow me into a future ministry. When it's time to hug again, I'm going to meet you someday, Erica. I'm going to hug your neck. But I want you to, Tina, speak to that, because that's just bursting with potential, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, certainty, the only thing that we can be certain of is Him. And so the uncertainty is such a gift. And if we can see it as a gift, and we can go back to that moment where we knew beyond knowing the goodness of the Lord, we knew beyond knowing that we had been touched by something supernatural. We knew there was something that we were certain of that didn't come from anywhere inside of us, but it came to us. It is the greatest gift of all. The certainty of the world keeps us often from Him. If we can go into uncertainty and we are vulnerable, it takes us to a place, back to that place of the only certainty that we truly have. And that's the thing I see missing so much for people as they kind of drift away from the Lord, is that they've lost the joy of their salvation, the certainty of that they knew what they knew, what they knew when they knew Him. And I got to get them back to that in order for healing to occur. So you are right, Erica. It was a blessing. This whole thing could be the biggest blessing that ever happened to followers of Jesus.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to read more of these texts. Many people are texting in the hard part and the blessing part. And, you know, there really is that idea. You know, I think it was Kay Warren, when she was on a few years ago, talked about joy and sorrow are running on parallel tracks in this life. But if you look down the horizon, the two tracks become one. And one day the sorrow will fall away and we'll only know joy. But in the meantime, we look for Jesus in it, and He's always up to something new. I do have to share, Mike, a listener, we have a functional med doc on every month for health and healing and that whole process. And Mike, I could cry. He just texted in and said, on 910, Dr. Troy was on the show, and I shared that I was awakened several times a night by my tongue feeling like it was burned by acid, and it's an actual condition. He says, I asked you to pray, and I've not had symptoms since. God is so good. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous woman avails much. Praise God. Wow, that's amazing. I'm talking to Christian counselor Tina Dozer. I'm asking you to call or text in. What was one of the hardest things about 2020? And what was a blessing in disguise? Text or call 877-933-2484. More with Tina Dozer in a moment. Much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I want you to think about this. A few months left to 2020, and I said this, I think, a few shows ago. What if? What if, instead of hunkering down, biding our time, waiting for it to get over, we rose up and thought, you know what? I'm assured. If I'm in Christ, I'm assured of my salvation. His mercies are new at my door every morning. His promises are as potent as they've ever been. What if I had the courage to sort through some of the losses, pay attention to how this year has impacted me, looked for some of the blessings because they're there too, and I marched through these next few months as the person of faith that I am, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, my new friend, Christian counselor Tina Dozer, joins me today to help us sort through 2020, and we're taking your calls or your text. I know a lot of you are shy about getting on the air, so I've got a number of texts to read and a couple of callers who called in but want to be off the air. But I asked, what was the hardest thing for you about 2020? What was maybe a blessing in disguise? This dear listener says this, Tina. She says, in answer to the question, the most difficult part for me was not being able to hug and hold people. When I hug people, I'm silently praying to God to minister to them through my hugs. And then when I'm hugging them, I'm praying for them as the Holy Spirit leads. I love that. And how I responded to that was I hugged them more through cards, texts, letters, emails, phone calls. If I could reach out to them to let them know that they're being hugged. I love that proactive stance, going, if I can't do this, I'm going to do that. Do you want to comment at all, Tina?
I think sometimes we, and I love that, by the way, and I'm a hugger, but I think sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer for the people in our circles. And even the people that we see that are wounded, and a lot of the things that we do in our ministry, my
biggest message, my most important message that I send to people when they're going out into the streets and caring for people who are in emotional poverty is to impart value to them. And hugging is certainly a way to impart value, but there's so much more that you can give to somebody by recognizing their identity and imparting value by remembering their name or making an intentional effort to sit with them, even if it's 6 feet away, and hear their story and let them know that they are on the forefront of your mind. That one act of impartation of value can change a person's life forever. It really can. So this woman is doing it time and time again by the people that she holds. But you can impart value simply by making contact with an individual and telling them that they are a person of worth. I cannot tell you how many times on the front lines people have come back and said, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, oh yes, you did. You did so much. You showed up and you were intentional about caring for that person. So keep it up, even if it can't be physical.
I love what you just said, because if you follow Jesus around the Gospels, he imparted value to the people that the world discarded, to those who, you know, everybody else overlooked. He made sure to get in their face, but in a good way, to see them face to face, to love them, to heal them, to stand up for them. And you think about, Tina, in this cancel culture, this bully culture, what the enemy is trying to do behind people who don't even know that they're being used as pawns by the enemy is to devalue others, to say, oh, you don't think like me? Well, you're canceled. Oh, you think like that? Well, you're out. And I think, again, as believers, what if we were proactive every day and said, not only do I want to live loved, how do I impart value to other people? And one of the things I've been doing out of my quiet time in the morning as the Lord leads different people, I'll leave audio texts. I'll just get, you know, there's a little function on my phone, and you probably have to have more than a flip phone to do this. You can just otherwise text, but I just put prayers on there. Lord, I thank you for this friend. They're mighty in God. And, you know, there's lots of ways we can impart value, but you as you do with this ministry, you got to be intentional, don't you?
You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. And again, once you know the love of the Lord, and that's why I love that verse so much, and then the outpouring of love can just come from you. And understanding that these bullies were not loved well, understanding that people that are screaming and are bullying are just people who haven't been loved well. You can change the world through love. So having that, leading with mercy, leading with love, but it's all got to start with you receiving the mercy and love of Jesus and then being able to pour that out to the people that are the hardest to pour that out to. But if you can see their life in totality, they weren't loved well. So they're just screaming at the top of their lungs because they weren't loved well as well.
Yeah, they're not living loved. Boy, that's really good. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about how to sort through some of our losses, but we're still reading. There's so many texts that have come in, and I just so appreciate your engagement. This dear listener said, the hard part was lacking passion to teach through distance learning and didn't want to continue doing that for 50 hours a week. What that did to teachers and even parents who had to work at home with children underfoot, their workload went up significantly, as did their stress load. But then she says the blessing was that it was time to move on anyway, and God use this crisis to help make that happen. Again, it seems like there's always two sides to the coin. There's always a silver lining, but there's also that very hard thing too. What are you hearing most often from people, Tina?
I'm hearing people say that they can't meet the expectations that they once had for themselves, for their children, for their lives. And I don't know that that's always a bad thing. I understand that sometimes, you know, from a financial standpoint and jobs, of course, it is terrifying. But when it comes to all the other pieces, what I would tell people over and over again is gather your loved ones, gather them together. This is a crisis time. This is not a time where we got to keep running on the treadmill as fast as we can. Gather them together. Give them what was important. Give them, you know, an understanding of the Lord's presence. And try to ease fears. Try to just lower the expectations just a little bit and bring us back to the things that really matter.
Boy, that's good. Let's see here. My husband and I married 22 years ago, have 8 kids between us, 5 in college at the time. We did not have time and space to form a deep friendship in the midst of it all. The time of quarantine has provided us with that, and we've become good, good friends. We also have 19 grandkids, so life continues to be very busy. This quarantine time has given us grace, the grace gift of space to grow deep friendships. So, wow, that's powerful. And I'm hearing that as well. And it seems, again, this could go both ways. I've seen some who've torn towards each other and rediscovered themselves, you know, as a couple. Others have said, this has shown my neglect. And then they have a choice to make. Have you seen that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I think we live shallow by design, right? I mean, the shallowness of our world keeps us from the deep, dark places in our own hearts. And that's why I love that verse that I started out with. But shallow by design doesn't work when it all stops. There's a lot of exposure, and there's a lot of exposure of just deep wounds, both sides, in some of the marriages that I've seen. And I've been blessed that I've been able to keep counseling through this period and gently working with people as those wounds are exposed. We can live a pretty shallow life when the world is going pretty fast. But I think it's a blessing that it stopped and we can take a hard look at what's going on within our interpersonal relationships.
Boy, very good. Okay, I'm going to read some of these calls that came in off the air. One of the pluses, this dear listener says, is I've slowed down. I'm not a workaholic. I met my boyfriend. I found a church. I discovered people are more open toward Jesus and I can share. My son is working from home with me, so we have more time together. And God's provision through unemployment, so I didn't have to stop tithing. Wow. Again, that's another story that I've heard, Tina, over and over again. Even amidst losses, which there have been a number of testimonies of God's surprise provision.
Yeah, his faithfulness is so true. And again, sometimes we live independent by design. We go to church and we have our faith, but we don't have that dependency piece. And when the world stops, dependency happens. We have to be dependent on what we know. We have to be dependent upon him. And it gives him an opportunity to show us how faithful he truly is.
We just got about 2 minutes before we hit this hard break at the bottom, just giving you a heads up. But can you speak to the person who does feel very isolated, alone, and cut off? And I do feel like there's something about it was sort of forced upon us, but then we almost develop habits around it where we maybe stop trying to connect because it's almost easier not to. But the fruit of that is never good. So what do you say?
It's tough. Isolation is probably the hardest one because people, especially people if they have a history of being wounded, isolation is their friend. They allow themselves to live in isolation because no one can hurt them. So if you are a person who is wounded and living in isolation, I couldn't agree more. Don't get stuck there. Please do not get stuck there. Allow yourself to have the courage to reach out, be it phone or be it writing a letter or in some way keeping yourself connected, because woundedness and isolation, again, go hand in hand. If I stay in isolation, I can't be hurt. If I don't reach out, no one's going to be able to harm me. But what happens is things that are terrible for us often become our best friends, right? We start to self-medicate and we move into places that become very damaging to our souls. And I really feel led to say this right now. If you are a person in isolation and you've been wounded, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. I say this to a lot of people. What happened to you in your life is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. Especially if you're a believer in Jesus, it is your responsibility to move toward healing. And even if that's a baby step, even if that is reaching out with one text or one call, make that step and let the Lord fuel it. But make the step. It's our responsibility to live in concert with him through healing.
If that's you, I want you to call or text us because we would love to pray with you. That would be a brave first step. If you've been living in isolation, self-medicating, pulling back, and you know it's self-destructive, I want you to text or call 877-933-2484. Text or call. I'm talking to Christian counselor Tina Dozier. Keep the texts and the calls coming. What has been maybe the toughest thing about 2020? What's been the blessing in disguise? We're sorting through this year. The reason I'm doing it now is because I want to march through these next 3 months with hearts of faith, boldness, courage, conviction, and do what Tina said, lead with love and mercy, impart value, and really walk in an increased capacity to know God's love and to give God's love. More with Tina Dozier when we return. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I want to say this. God knows what this year has been like for you. He cares and delights, cares for you, delights in every detail of your life. And though the enemy's aim is to steal, kill, and destroy, God's aim is to bring life and life abundantly. And he will one day make all things new. And some of that restoration you will see in the land of the living and some on the other side. But we live as people of hope. I've got Christian counselor Tina Dozer on with me today. Before the break, she said something very important. We were talking about isolation in this quarantine 2020 and how it can slip into self-medication where you just slink back and go, it's just easier to disconnect. And you go into some self-destructive behaviors. And she'd said before the break, you know what, the trauma that you've walked through, that's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And so I just had, when she said that, something kind of leapt within me. I think somebody is listening today, and you know who you are. If you've slipped into isolation, maybe people have reached out to you, but you've not reached out back, and your choices, you know, are killing you. They're not good for you. And she said, take the first step. And so I'm asking, maybe your first step is to text or call so we can pray for you. You can remain anonymous, but we'd love to stand with you. Let that be a brave first step. 877-933-2484. You can text or call 877-933-2484. We've got someone calling in right now who'd love to talk with you, Tina. I don't want to say her name just in case she wants to remain anonymous, but you are on the air with Christian counselor Tina Dozer. Thanks for calling today.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, blessings.
Hi.
This is such, I just am shocked. I drove to the park. I am one of those people. In a week, I'm going to be 74, and I got a little bit of a lung problem, and I have a really low function immune system. So I've been in pretty much all by myself for the last, what has it been, 6.5 months?
Wow.
And you just hit it. It just resonated in my heart. I drove to the park to take a walk, and the station came on. And I didn't take a walk. I just had the program on. And that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to self-medicate. I have cut off my – I don't have a lot of friends, and even the ones that I did talk to, I've just sort of – packed it all in, and I didn't see that I was doing that until it got pretty bad, and then I saw myself, and I said, oh, my. And then today, just today, I got some news that probably nobody wants to get. I had a biopsy done, and they just called me a couple hours ago to tell me that the cancer test was positive.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I want to let Tina speak to you, and then I'm going to definitely pray for you. What do you say, Tina?
Well, first of all, I want you to know that the Lord sees you. Yeah. I mean, this call, this timing, I think that sometimes people can feel like they're just one of billions of people, but He sees you. And He appointed this whole conversation for you right now. And that is how important you are to Him. And, you know, I don't have the answer to why suffering is just not stopped. But I do know that God reaches down in our suffering and stands with us in solidarity and doesn't leave our side as we walk through the challenges of this life. So I am so thrilled that you called in. It's such a testament to my spirit at the workings of the Lord. But the most important piece is I want you to know that you're seen and He will not leave your side no matter how this continues to walk out. But that's the thought that I have on my heart.
Okay. Well, Jesus, we just lift up our dear sister to you. I love that you are divine and sovereign and that you work all things together for the good, even bringing her to the park, having her in her car at the very moment that she heard what she needed to hear, which, again, speaks to what Tina just said, that you care about her. And if you orchestrated this whole show for her, we praise you, Lord, because she's worth it. And I thank you, God, that this orchestration of events is your invitation to her to step out of isolation, to be in community somehow, some way. And Lord, just under the authority that you've given us, I'm just going out on a limb and with the authority. I take authority, you said in Luke 10:19, take authority over all the power of the enemy. So we take authority over that cancer. I do. We condemn it. We command it to cease and desist. And Lord, I pray that an army of white blood cells would march through her body and swallow up every shred of disease, that sickness would flee, that confusion would flee, that her immune system would rise up and be strong. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I ask you, God, that her latter years would be far more blessed than her former years, that you put on the hearts of friends and family, even right now, to call her, to reach out to her, and at every turn, she would see how loved she is. We pray that this crisis moment would turn into an amazing blessing as you start to redeem and restore every aspect of her story. We pray this in your precious son's name, Lord. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for having this show that is touching so many people's hearts.
We're going to hug you someday. I cannot wait to get hugging again. But in the meantime, we are praying for you.
Oh.
And we appreciate you, honey. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you for the prayers.
I appreciate it so very much. Yeah. And yes, I'm a hugger too. So I send you love and a big hug.
I love that. Thank you so much. Lord bless you. Okay, this one came from a young gal. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say her name, but a prayer for healing and a blessing. She says she's a frontline RN. She was physically assaulted by a confused COVID patient. The blessing is she's been given 3 months paid time off to heal physically, and she's using it to heal emotionally and spiritually. Hey, and she's going through our Fully Alive study. That's one of my books. We did an online summer study, and Prevail, so good for her soul right now. Praise God for that. Wow. I mean, we pray for our frontline workers, Kevin and I do every day, but talk about the trauma that this dear listener has endured by being on the front lines to help people and being assaulted by a confused COVID patient. Wow.
It's so difficult when you feel like you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do and then harm comes your way and it just absolutely makes no sense, right? It makes no sense. You feel like you're following what the Lord told you to do, and then you end up kind of battered from what he has asked you to do. But just, again, just with our last caller, he sees you. He is right there in solidarity with you. He has not left your side. And, you know, I know you know that the person was confused, so it's probably not even about forgiveness or any of that. It's just about trying to walk in the walk that God asked us to do, and then sometimes literally, unfortunately, taking some hits from that. But knowing that his faithfulness is there and knowing that that story is probably going to be there for so many other people who are discouraged as he heals you and as you move forward and being able to tell your story, kind of how I led with this, about being able to go back on the trail and finding somebody else as you heal from this who is being hurt in a situation where they feel like they're doing all the right things, but they're continually taking some literal punches for what they're doing and being able to be an encourager for another person. But God has not left his gaze from you. His eyes are on you and healing is happening.
Amen. Charlie, I got to say, well, I just said your name, but as Tina was talking, and I felt impressed upon my heart to share this with you. In Mark 4, Jesus tells the disciples to get into a boat, and he knows full well he's leading them into a storm. And they think they're going to die. They're seasoned fishermen, but they're like, Lord, don't you care? And his question back to them was, where's your faith? And the point in that story, and I think you may read about it either in Prevail or Fully Alive. I can't remember which one I wrote about it in, but the idea, two things I feel like Jesus modeled there. One was rest, because he was out cold and they had to wake him up. He's in a boat that they thought would capsize and he's getting a good nap. I mean, think about that. Rest and then authority. He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And when you look at the other side of the lake, when they got to the other side, the ministry that was waiting for these disciples, they sort of needed these two things. They needed sort of an upgrade in their experience with God. And I wonder if in this time that the Lord is going to teach you two things, rest and authority, because he's got more for you to do on the other side of this. So maybe just ponder that, think about that, and pray for that. Okay, so this dear listener wants to remain anonymous. Says, one of the hardest things for me during this 2020 COVID times, knowing that the elderly are in nursing homes, have been forced into isolation, starved of family touch. This, too, I cannot even bear. It's so painful. It feels as if our society has lost the ability to love some of the most vulnerable. This one is a family member, and none of her family's been able to hug her since March, and she's 90. And that story has been told so many times. Oh, so painful. Anything you want to say to
Well, it is clearly the one that is at the that and the vulnerable children are at the deepest parts of my soul, because it is the most vulnerable. And I think to your point, again, as the world goes so fast, we tend to value the people that can keep up pace with it, right? We tend to value mm-hmm. the people that are on the courts or on the ball fields or in the theater or wherever that are keeping up pace with the world. But when the world comes to a dead stop, we start to see where value is and where it lies, right? And the most vulnerable people who need people the most have been left in isolation. But I just want to encourage you, we did this right at the outset of COVID. We, you know, drew a lot of pictures and put them, you know, handed them out at nursing homes. And I know there's a whole lot of things about that, that rules and regulations, but standing outside, kind of where we've been through this whole show about imparting value and being seen and saying, I see you, I know that you are hurting, but I see you. Any active role you can take to let the most vulnerable know that you are in the game and that you see them and that you are hurting for them, it will make a huge difference. I know we can't get to some of these people, but just being present. And if you can't physically be present, gather your family around and pray for the most vulnerable. Call them out by name. Bring in the power of the Holy Spirit through your love that is flowing through you to those people. Get the names, the first names of some of the people on a unit, and just pray for those people, Betty and Paul and Tom, all day long, bringing those people to mind and letting them know through their spirit that somebody is remembering them, and they will be changed from that.
Amen. You know, pray too for the decision makers, because you wonder, once this pandemic is in the history books and it's not a thing anymore, they're going to look back and go, okay, we could have done more of that. That was totally unnecessary. You know, I mean, I heard about this story, a friend who's got an elderly grandparent in a home, and just so that the elderly people in the home wouldn't converse with each other, they removed the coffee pot out of each of their rooms. I mean, that makes me want to tackle somebody. I'm just like, you can't take their coffee pot out of their room. I mean, you know, I just feel like some of this stuff is crazy. And we need to pray for decision makers to have wisdom, because as one of the listeners said, some of this stuff just, they've lost the humanity. And I know we're trying to be careful, but Lord, bring wisdom so that we're not doing the overkill thing, you know? And when we come back, we're going to talk about how do we sort through the losses? How do we cultivate a heart of hope? Talking to Christian counselor Tina Dozer, this hour has flown by. I've been asking you to text, call. What's been the hardest thing about 2020? What's been the blessing in disguise? Diane writes, hardest part unknown of seeing out-of-state family and the distance in Christian fellowship. The best thing? Listen to this. The Lord laid it on our hearts in June to do one-on-one Bible reading with each of our four kids at night. Praise God. We've been almost in the Word for 4 months with our kids. My husband and I each read with two of them one-on-one each night. With all the chaos, negativity, and unknowns, they need God's Word more than ever before. So powerful. More with Tina Dozer in just a moment. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Wow, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his presence, the fullness of joy is found. My life, Psalm 116:9. So I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. We're talking about 2020, sorting through 2020. What have been the blessings? What have been some of the hardest things? I've got Christian counselor Tina Dozer on, and I'm asking for texts and quote. Boy, the texts have been flying in. We've been praying for some of you. It's been so wonderful. So there's still a segment left here. If you want to text in and tell us what has been maybe the hardest thing for you about 2020, what's been the maybe blessing in disguise? 877-933-2484. We're doing it at this point of the year because we're not going to just bide our time, hunker down, and hope we can get through the next 3 months. We're going to rise up in faith and expect God to be who he says he is. And we're going to look to him to heal us from the losses that we've endured. And we're going to help him sort through our story in a way that makes sense to us. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a Prince of Peace. That's who he is. and it's what he does. And Tina, I love this from Mark Batterson. He says, when I survey scripture, I see God showing up in strange places at strange times in strange ways. I don't think anything has changed. God certainly won't contradict himself, but he's still predictably unpredictable. He still turns appointments into divine appointments. He still uploads desires, open doors, and inspires dreams. He still speaks through promptings, people, and pain, just as he did for Moses. And he can turn any patch of ground into holy ground. I want to just talk for a few minutes, if we can, about creating time and space to sort through some of our losses, not so we get stuck there, but that so we can hope again. I mean, when I surveyed people on Facebook and asked them this question, you know, what about 2020? It's been toughest for you. A pastor's wife said, our people don't even know how much they need to grieve. Like, she's like, I've watched the losses and they don't even know how much they need to sort through. Say a word about that.
I think it just was so shocking in such a confusing whirl of events that we all kind of lost our footing. But right before your last segment, you talked about praying for wisdom for leaders. I wanted to add into that about praying for humility, because I feel like that is the avenue of the Holy Spirit, is through humility. And these losses and the things that we have to grieve are really going to reduce us to people who are truly completely dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Grieving is such a difficult process. I think a lot of people would rather not grieve and just rather hope that the treadmill is going to start up again and just wait until we get back onto the ball field or get back into the things of our lives. But I think that grieving takes us to a place of vulnerability, which takes us to a place of humility, and it allows the Spirit to work through us, to really show us that God has such a higher plan for our life than any of the plans that we have made on this planet.
You know, I'd like to say, just pause here for a moment and think about the process by which we sort through our losses. I often say that if you compare your loss to someone else and thereby minimize your loss, you'll never heal from it. But we can't compare our losses to other people, because our losses are our losses. And I think oftentimes something that seems like a slight little thing, a minor infraction, like, I'm not going to talk about this, so I didn't get my grad party, or I'm not going to talk about this, so I didn't get this, is usually tied to a message that the enemy has leveled at us time and time and time again. And I always say, you have to feel it to heal it. So what is your advice for those who realize there is stuff I've been stuffing into the basement of my soul because I've not known what to do with it? What should they do with it?
I always say that God is not a God of relative pain. Just like if your child came home and somebody had just bashed them in the knee with a iron rod, you wouldn't say, oh, you know, suck it up, the kid down the road doesn't have a knee, right? You wouldn't, yeah. You know, he lost his leg, just hobble on in here. We're not even going to work on fixing that, right? Relative pain is kind of the lie of the culture. Like, if my pain is, you know, I feel guilty about complaining about anything because the person down the road does have cancer, or the person over there has something much more severe, so I'm just going to suck it up and try to just push through life. And it all ties back to where we started. That creates a life of isolation and a life of being, of not feeling loved and cared for. The beauty of the Holy Spirit is in the Spirit caring for us, so that then we can then care for other people. If we deny ourselves the right to be cared for, then we are not going to be good stewards of his love and of his mercy. If we can't have mercy for ourselves, we certainly can't have mercy for other people. So allowing ourselves to admit at the things that hurt the most, to lay them out before the Lord and say, the world might tell me this is trivial, but I'm so important to you that I believe this is a big deal to you because it was a big deal to me. Please care for me through this grieving, so that I then can go out into the world and care for others.
Wow. Well, that leads me to a question. One of the listeners texted in and said, are you taking any new clients? And I'm not laughing at that. I'm just saying, I mean, I just thought, I think that's just adorable. I don't know why, but I think that I love that someone's responding to you to such a degree. They're like, okay, I've listened to enough. I want you to be my counselor. I think that's precious. But do you take virtual clients, by the way?
Well, I do. I pray about everybody that I take. I ask the Lord if this is, you know, a right person or a wrong person for my skill set and for what I've been through. But absolutely, I tell people that if they want to try to call or contact me, I will ask Jesus about it. And that is how I've operated through my entire practice.
All right. So you email me, friend, who texted and inquired, and I will send it to Tina, and we'll maybe introduce you via email if that works for you, Tina. Does that work?
There you go. Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie@myfaithradio.com. This dear listener says, it's tough not having family to be able to see and hug, but there are caregivers that adopt them almost like family. Thank God for those loving caregivers that have access to them. After Dad died, we took Mom to a home till after the funeral so we could spend more time with her. It became evident she could do with some friends her age to live, eat, movies, activities with. We found a less restrictive small memory care. First day of her response was, I really enjoyed myself this afternoon, and answered a prayer to find the right friends and team for her. And I read that one too, because there are answers to prayer. God is always up to something new. And if we focus on what we've lost, if we focus on where the country is right now, and we just rehearse that, our lives and our souls will be in distress. But there is something to be said about looking at what's honorable, praiseworthy, good. I mean, speak to just the power of a redemptive mindset.
Oh, there's so much good out there. We have to look for it, though. We have to be intentional to look for it. I think that we get, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, hooked on the news media and for someone to tell us what is happening in the world. We just need to ask the Lord to give us the eyes to see what's happening in the world. My father has been in hospice for over a year. Some of these hospice caretakers have been the most loving, caring people, and the joy that they have brought this man who lived such a hard life. Such a tragic life from the beginning to end. He just really lived a life of woundedness and never healed from his woundedness. And I watched these hospice workers take care of him. And I think these are the hands of Jesus caring for my father, who may or may not know him at this point. I still don't know. But I know that Jesus is caring through these hands. This picture, this moment is really all that matters. All of these other things don't matter. What matters is the Holy Spirit flowing through us, caring for each other, and we can't allow the bad news of the world to sideline that. We cannot stand on the sidelines and just get our eyes stuck on the news. We got to get back out on the playing field and be the hands and feet of Jesus in any capacity that we can be that.
Boy, amen. In a couple of weeks, we're going to do a show on election anxiety. But I want you to speak to that right now, because, yeah. You know, I get the sense just from what I know of you already, and I'll just declare it with all my heart. God is on his throne, and we serve a king, and we're a part of a kingdom. And when I hear Christians validate their quote unquote right to be hateful and angry with people who think differently than them, I just don't think we have that option. And yes, I have opinions about how I want this to go. But even so, at the end of the day, as you say, live love, lead with mercy, impart value. I mean, maybe to speak to that idea that this is our responsibility. It's not our fault, in so many words, but it is our responsibility. How am I going to respond to these days?
I tell people, if you're going to carry the banner of Christ and hate the person in front of you, please put the banner down, because
wow.
You are not doing a good job representing the love of God. And I am guilty of that as well. There's no way that I'm saying that I'm above that or beyond that. I am definitely guilty of that as well. But that just is a check in my spirit when I feel rage coming out, or when I hear something that I believe not to be true. And I'm like, that's deception. It's coming out of my soul. I got to get right back on my knees in humility and say, Jesus, don't allow me to lead with my eyes. Allow me to lead with what's in my heart that is of you. And it is so very difficult. But to believers, we have such a responsibility to portray to the world the truth of who our Savior really is. God is not on the throne wringing his hands, counting numbers and looking at poll numbers. God is on the throne saying, he's looking out. He's looking out like if you were on an airplane looking out and seeing all those lights, you know, when you're on an airplane at night and you see all those lights and you think every single one of those lights is a family and a person. God is up on his throne looking out into this nation for every light that he can find so that he can work through it. Be mm-hmm. his conduit. Be his light. Don't be part of the hate. You turn your light off when you're part of the hate. He can't work through you when you're part of the hate. Turn your light on. Give what you can. If you've got one tiny little tidbit of love to give, give it. If you've got a mountain of love to give, give it. But keep your light on. Allow him to access you so that we can be true representatives of our Savior. And not lead with hate or frustration or arguments, but lead through love and mercy. That's where the change is going to happen, not in some numbers. God can do whatever he wants. He can choose to just eliminate the whole thing tomorrow. He can do whatever he wants, but he's up there looking for those lights, scanning, trying to find us to work through. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're the on earth part. We're the part that are the ambassadors for him.
Somebody give me an amen. We usually ask for amens a time or two during the show, and we got friends who text in, but that is amen worthy, what you just said. You know, he's put this light shining in our hearts so that the world will know that he is making an appeal through us, be reconciled to God. And boy, we don't want that message to get lost in translation because of attitudes that are awry. Tina, this has been just wonderful. I pray. There we got an amen from Quetzi. I can always count on you. This has been powerful, and I pray you'll come back again. The hour just flew right by. Thank you for your investment in people and your biblical way that you encourage people. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I would love to come back anytime.
Very good. I want to just wrap with a John Eldridge quote that I opened with. God is trying to do two things with the promise of redemption in our hearts. He's trying to woo us into hopeful expectation, and he's attempting to lift our gaze to the horizon that we might live for the real thing that is coming, the real thing that is coming. You know what? Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. But how we live here impacts greatly how we live there. So let's live like we are appointed by God, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have the promises of God written over our lives. We are kingdom people, so let's live like it. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.